Welcome to the Adults Corner,
where nothing's off limits.
We're going to discuss
masturbation,
anal,
butthole foreplay,
BDSM,
sex.
No, we need to make that clear. I do not like things in my butthole.
We are back in the Adult Corner seats.
The adults, we got an S, mate.
We are back in the Adults Corner seats today. And this is a very special topic. I'm an expert at it. Today we're going to talk about kinks versus fetishes and what the difference between the two are.
Today can we talk about buttholes? Because like, you know how much I have an obsession with buttholes. Nothing goes in my butt, but like I love hearing about what goes in other people's butts.
We can definitely talk about buttholes today.
Yes.
I think this is a great topic to be speaking about buttholes on. And speaking of buttholes, I'm so excited for you to join me this weekend. Yeah, Dana's going to come with me to a BDSM job. And it's...
I'm so nervous. I'm sweating just talking about this.
So the type of session that Dana's going to be sitting in with me is a cuckold session. So if you don't know what a cuckold is, it is typically it's done between a married man and woman, where the woman sleeps with another man and the husband watches, and then the husband is called a cuck. However, this time we have a little toy boy coming in, and I've hired my alpha bull.
He looks
bull.
So innocent too.
He does.
He looks so sweet and so innocent.
He's very beautiful. I'm pretty sure he's younger than me.
Oh, he's definitely bloody younger than me then, isn't he? Your grandma's going to be in the room.
And he wants me to peg him. So we're going
to
do some...
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, to be honest.
So we're going to do some anal play. And... he is going to pleasure the bull, the alpha male, for mistress, and Dana's going to watch that.
Yeah, your friend.
My friend the alpha is going to get his cock sucked by my little special fuck toy.
Oh, there we go. In just in English. Yeah, just spell it out. And then, yeah, he has to eat his cum. So this is the part I'm really nervous about, because I seriously am so scared of cum from, like, I think I talked about this in episode one, where I am just kind of traumatized by cum because of, like, an ex-boyfriend experience. And so the thought of cum now makes me dry reach and want to vomit. So, like, on the weekend, having to watch this guy eat another guy's cum, I'm really nervous. Like, I'm sweating even more right now just thinking about it, and I want to gag. I hope he doesn't get offended if I vomit or if I leave the room. Chloe, because I feel so bad.
I think you're going to have a really good time, because we're going to make it fun. It's not going to be, like, serious. It's going to be very intense and very dirty, very nasty. Like, he's going to do some disgusting, filthy things, but is going to be lighthearted and really warm. I encourage him to be an extreme pervert. So we're going to nurture him into depravity.
I thought you said if I was laughing or vomiting at him, he would like it.
He would like it. He would love for you to laugh at him. He's very into humiliation. So the more laughter, the better. He's going to drink my piss too. So you get to watch that. I haven't decided if I'm going to do it in a glass or straight in his mouth.
Let's just get a petrol strainer kind of thing. Let's just
a
do
funnel.
That. A funnel. Yeah, that's what they call them. Oh, fuck, I'm so bad with names
of
things.
Let's just get
a funnel and funnel it into his mouth. I'm all for videoing and taking photos, because I'm like, yeah, I'll get the good lighting and the good angles, because I'm really good at that. Also taking a bottle of vodka, FYI, and that'll probably be my own
funnel.
So it
can relax you. It's going to be exciting, and I can't wait for you to tell everyone about it next episode.
Yeah, next episode, we will be bringing the goods on my whole experience, because I haven't experienced anything like this ever before.
I'm worried you're going to see me in a different light.
Mate, I've already seen you naked.
Yeah, but it's different being in a mistress character.
No, I've already seen that. You made me lick your shoe and spank me. And I know that wasn't to your full extent, because I'm such a pussy, because if you were to spank me really hard, I would probably turn around and punch you in the face, because that's like, I was open to like a light spanking for like content, but nothing like extra.
On the weekend just passed, I gave one of my favorite clients 500 spanks.
500?
With a leather paddle, a hairbrush, a metal spoon.
A metal spoon? How big was the metal spoon? Like a soup spoon?
A very, very big metal spoon.
Like a soup spoon?
Like how much is that? 25 centimeters long?
Yeah.
And yeah, the diameter.
Yeah, soup spoon.
A very big soup spoon.
Yeah.
Yep. His butt was bleeding.
I can imagine. But they like that because they like the pain the next day.
They do. They like to be reminded of the session.
Yeah.
So the bruises are, I want to use the word certificate, but that's not the right word. It's like an award. They get to feel good about the bruises.
Because I know I have a friend and she really enjoys shibari.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole being tied up with ropes and suffocated and getting sometimes sexual pleasure or aroused during that process.
Mm-hmm.
And she enjoys that. And I've seen photos after she's been like spanked and the bruises and welts she has are disturbing for me to look at, but she thoroughly enjoys it. And for days afterwards, she's like, yes, it's so sore, but like they're so good. Look at this bruise. I'm like, you need to cover that. Like,
do you know that frequent spanking gets rid of cellulite and keeps your butt firm? Because the spanking brings
new. I feel like this is a trick. I feel like you just want to spank me again.
Well, you do have a very you do have a very spankable ass, but I'm telling you the truth because when you spank, new blood comes to the surface. Anyway, today we're talking about the difference between kinks and fetishes. Do you know the difference? What do you think a kink and a fetish is?
Well, today, firstly, we're talking about it because we had to bring up this weekend story, which is perfect timing. Mm-hmm. So kinks and fetishes, look, over the years I just thought, yeah, sure, they're the same thing. But the more I spend around you and talking about different things, I'm like, maybe I don't know the difference. It's like a fetish. So the guy on the weekend, everything that he's doing, is that a fetish?
No, because so – I'll define a fetish first.
Yeah.
A fetish is any kind of sexual activity that they need in order to orgasm. For example, like maybe they need to touch the feeling of lace to orgasm, or maybe they need a foot in their mouth to orgasm. That is a fetish. And on the other hand, a kink is something that sexually arouses them. However, they don't need it to reach climax. They're very happy to climax without it. It's just a little bonus, a little extra. So the guy we're seeing on the weekend, this is his kink.
So he's going to come?
He's definitely going to come. So my friend who is coming for a session, he doesn't need to eat an alpha's cum to orgasm. Do you have any fetishes? Is there anything in particular that you absolutely need to orgasm and you can't orgasm without it?
No, let's be honest, I'm easy.
Okay, but so my kink.
Look, I'm super easy. You know, it doesn't take me long to get myself off. Sometimes I can get off in like 30 seconds.
You're lucky.
Hey, years of practice. I didn't just roll over on my fingers and just come. Wake up one morning and be like, yeah, bam. Get him in, flip that bean, boom. Be able to squirt a fuck tongue on my bed. No, took me years of practice. I don't think girls should also feel nervous or worried or get anxiety about not being able to come in the bedroom or being able to squirt, because I feel like, firstly, if you're not touching yourself, you don't know what you like. And because there are a lot of guys out there, I've experienced just a few, you have to kind of instruct them. And if you're not giving them instructions because you don't know what it is you like and how to get yourself off, how are they going to get you off?
Hallelujah.
You need to fuck yourself regularly.
Yes, regularly.
Do you know I gave myself clit damage many years ago?
I did hear about this, yes.
My first toy was a rabbit. You know the little vibrators with the ears on them that like tickle your clit and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But I actually came for the first time. Okay, I lied. I came for the first time with this guy. We had sex 16 times in one day. He was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Don't ask me to do that now. I'd be like three times. I'd be like, my hips, I'm too old. But like this was back in the heyday. I think I was like 25 when I had my first orgasm. And then after him, I started using a rabbit. I started to be able to come more regularly. So I don't know, when was your first orgasm?
When I was like five.
What the fuck? Five?
Yeah.
Did you just roll over one morning on your fingers and be like, fuck me?
I started masturbating at around five. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know that it was masturbation. I didn't know that I was having an orgasm. But I do remember at that age, I was sexually aroused. However, I didn't understand the experience I was having.
What turned you on at that age?
Movies. Yeah, cute guys in movies. I really liked the movie, you know, Cruel Intention.
Yeah.
With Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah. And I can't remember the guy's name, but his name was Sebastian in the movie. I used to hump my teddy bear and call him Sebastian.
Wow. We all have those embarrassing stories. Do you remember Hanson, the Hanson brothers?
I saw them in concert.
Mm-bop, yeah. Doobop.
I loved the drummer.
I had a poster of Taylor Hanson on my bedroom wall and I used to kiss it goodnight every night. My elder sister looked at me like I was like smoking crack or something. She's like, you're so fucked up. And I'm like, he's just so hot. Oh God, I'm so glad we grew out of that phase.
I used to do that, but with Gerard Way. And from My Chemical Romance and Robert Pattinson from Twilight.
Oh, that's understandable.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what's a weird one. You know Gigi, my friend. Yeah. Sorry, Gigi, for mentioning this, but it's already on YouTube. So when she was really young, I think she was early teens, like maybe 11 or 12, she popped her cherry with a pencil. That's an odd bled. Instrument.
So popping a cherry means breaking the hymen.
Yeah.
The little bit of skin that covers the vaginal opening.
What a way to take an interesting topic and make it boring. Thanks, Chloe.
Shut the fuck up. Making sure the people know.
Yeah, that's true. Popping cherries means popping how do you say it?
Hymens.
I was going to say Heinemans. Heinekens.
So technically she lost her virginity to a pencil.
To a pencil, yeah.
Well, not technically, but like conceptually she lost her virginity to a pencil.
Sounds like a good time. A lot of girls lose their virginity to horses, you know, from riding.
Yes.
Not having intercourse with horses, just like riding them.
I don't ever remember my vagina bleeding. So I don't remember ever breaking my hymen. Do you?
Yeah, my first time was in a basement with this really short guy, but he had a massive dick for a little short guy. And I was like, fuck, maybe I thought it was so massive because it was the first penis that went inside my vagina. And I was trying to crawl away from him. I still kind of had my clothes on. I had a skirt on, but I had blood that came all up my boob tube top. It was all over me, over my skirt. I remember going upstairs and my friends were like, oh my God. And I was like, fuck, like it was everywhere.
That's intense. That was your first time?
Yeah. And then I got fingered 2 weeks later and I had more blood after that.
That's crazy. What age did you lose your virginity?
16.
I was 14.
I was very frigid.
Oh, were you?
Yeah. You weren't frigid?
Well, I was 14. Yeah. I wouldn't say I was frigid, but I definitely didn't have high self-esteem or high confidence, but I was definitely sexually interested. I definitely wanted to have sex. And before I lost my virginity, I used to hook up with this guy every week for like months. But we never did anything more than like hooking up. So like we'd kiss and then one time we went camping and he fingered me. And that was absolutely horrible. It was a horrible experience because it was freezing cold. I hadn't had a shower in 2 days. There was no toilet paper in the camping toilets. So like my vagina stank and I smelt it on his fingers and I was like, oh my God, I've traumatized him.
Did he
away
notice?
From pussy for the rest of my... Yeah, I could tell he wasn't happy. and it was really uncomfortable because I had my friend sleeping next to me as well. And then a month or so later, I ended up losing my virginity to this guy who we were dating for 2 weeks and then I went over to his house and then we slept together. And I remember he came on my belly so much. He had the biggest load ever and I was like, and I remember being utterly disappointed. I was like, is that
I'm utterly it? Disappointed listening about
like,
the cum story.
I was like, oh, is that it? And then I thought like when I went home, my mum would smell it on me.
Yeah, sex stink.
I thought that like she would know from my behavior that I'd lost my virginity and yeah. I was just like very secretive after that. But I remember being utterly disappointed and then he broke up with me the next day.
That's a shitty thing to do for a guy and I feel like it's very common. But I kind of wanted to touch on like cream pies because like another stinky thing is like with sex, because sex does have an odor and it's not necessarily pleasant. And most guys won't know this because they have dicks, not vaginas. So when a guy comes inside a girl's vagina, they don't realize that it's still leaking for like the whole next day afterwards.
At the moment, I'm seeing a guy. We've been seeing each other for 6 months and his kink... It's not a fetish, but his kink that it very much sexually arouses him is pungent vaginas. He loves vaginas with a strong scent. And unfortunately, he always tells me, Chloe, your vagina doesn't smell like anything. And I'm like...
Doesn't smell like anything.
Doesn't smell like anything. And I'm like, well, that's a shame. I wish it did for you.
Do you know what you need to get? Those jelly beans, how you can like, you eat them and some of them taste good and some of them taste bad. You just put some of them in there and get him to eat them out. Just put the bad ones in there.
You know, fragrant vagina doesn't have to smell bad. It just smells. It's just like an intense smell, scent of vagina.
The more you talk about vagina, the heavier the rain's getting. Like, it's so wet outside. It's just like kissing down rain with vagina topics.
What you eat determines how smelly your vagina is. Like, when I was younger and I didn't eat well at all, I just ate, like, shit. I ate, like, chocolate, breads, milk. Just, like, my diet was a high sugar. My vagina stunk so bad. It was, like, I had constant BV. And then I went vegan and started eating clean, and all I really eat now are fruits and vegetables. My vagina doesn't have a scent at all. And I never get thrush or UTIs because of that reason.
Yeah.
If you want a stinky vagina, eat more sugar.
Anyways, I want to bring up this thing that was in the news recently about this massive orgy and noise complaints over in New York, because that's pretty hilarious. It's like they had a massive sex party.
Well, there's one particular situation that had 56 people call up and complain about. And what they described to the authorities was a bunch of hippies, quote unquote hippies, allegedly dressed up as Freddy Krueger, Pennywise, and the Easter Bunny, engaging in coital revelry, which just means like a fancy dress sex party.
Oh my God, is that why you asked me earlier if I would let Freddy Krueger finger me?
Yes.
And I said, mentally I'd probably enjoy it, but physically it would be a no. I'm pretty twisted and wild in my imagination, but to bring it to like into a physical form, I'd be like, no, 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 just let me play in my mind. My mind's pretty wild. I think that's why I get off so fast too, because I have such a wild imagination. I can, you know how you see in movies guys that can masturbate to photos? I am that freak. I have done that before. I literally can take a guy's photo that I like from Instagram and just look at it and be able to get off.
I do use my imagination quite often, where I'll just close my eyes and imagine a pretty obscene scenario, and that will get me off very easily.
But then I kind of lose it if I don't have a connection with a person. Yeah.
100% need a connection with a person to experience orgasm.
That's why I definitely know on this weekend I'm not going to be aroused, because I have no connection with anyone in the room. I fucking hope not anyways. I hope I'm not surprised and being like, oh,
my
yeah.
panties are wet.
Chloe, I really like this. I want to do it every weekend.
I think you're going to have a lot of fun.
No.
I think you're going to love watching me destroy his ass.
Oh, fuck, 100%.
I need to go buy a strap-on at lunch tomorrow.
Does he want a particular colour? Can it be pink?
Well, I do have a pink dildo that I'll be using on him, but I need just a strap-on harness.
Okay, gotcha.
So probably only be able to
How
get it in
How much does a strap-on harness go for?
Around $50 to $150, $50 to $150, depends on the type you get.
Wow.
So there are ones that are specifically made for lesbian couples,
yeah,
where one end will be inserted into the vagina, and then there's like a cock attached to that, so both of them feel pleasure. However, when I just use the normal strap-ons, from the grinding of the dildo on my pubic bone, that gets me excited.
Oh, so wait, am I going to watch you orgasm on the weekend too?
Well, it is a cuckold session, so I haven't decided if I'm going to do this or not, but I did this in the last session, so I might do it again. But, yeah, me and the alpha might fuck in front of him.
Well, I can always leave the room.
I want you there.
Oh.
You have to cheer me on.
Chloe's what, fetish is cuckolding. I think this is your fetish.
Well, I'm probably...
I'm a part of your fantasy, fetish and kink.
It is
combined.
A kink. It is a kink for me. Being dominant for me is a kink.
Yeah.
But I'll probably have him suck on my toes while the alpha fucks me.
Well, that's interesting.
That's definitely a kink. Can you guess what the most common fetishes are? So to reiterate, a fetish is something that somebody absolutely needs in order to orgasm.
Look, feet have to come into play because Nikki put your feet down. Yuck! You like Nikki, our producer, just went to like lick her feet.
Yum.
You're wild.
Save that for someone who wants to pay, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, save it for Chloe. She'll pay you.
I don't mind feet.
Are you going to make him suck on your webbed toes?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to get him close for this camera angle because I want to see this.
You have to get the tongue trying to get in between them.
I knew I should have been a porn producer. I fucking miss my calling. I'm literally going to get every angle and I'll get Nikki to edit it.
Yeah, so the most common fetishes revolve around body parts or something to do with the body parts. So like feet, shoes, hands, gloves.
You know what's a weird,
panties,
weird
butts.
Request? Belly buttons.
Yes, although it's way more common than what you might think.
Belly buttons. It's super random.
I don't like belly buttons.
I always have people asking to see my belly button on OnlyFans and I'm like,
oh yeah,
why?
Show me that belly button.
Yeah, show me that belly button. No, but butthole is literally the top request on OnlyFans. People to see, like, show us your butthole. And I went for years trying to avoid showing my butthole because I was so insecure about it. I was so shy. I was like, no, my butthole's so sensitive. Like, literally, like I've said like 100 times before, nothing goes in my butthole because it's just so sensitive. I was just so nervous about showing people my butthole because when I had my boobs done years ago, like I know everyone goes, you get constipated when you take Endone or pain relief. And even the doctors go, constipation's a side effect. No, my form of constipation is fucking worse than everyone else's side effect. Like, I mean, when I got my boobs done, they gave me Endone and I had it for 4 days. I was constipated on the bathroom floor, vomiting with stabbing pains in my stomach on day 7. I hadn't shit. And I was like,
you hadn't shit in 7 days.
No, in 7 days, I was like, Mum, you have to take me to the hospital. Like, I was like trying to go. I was straining. And because of that whole process, I was full freaked out. I was like, what the actual fuck? And my butthole's never kind of been the same since then. So I'm like sensitive about my butthole and I'm like super sensitive. Like, I thought, oh my God.
There's way more to that story that you don't want to mention.
Oh my God, there was a second time I got constipated and it was the worst fucking experience of my life. I swear I gave birth to a fucking baby's arm. It was fucking terrible. And I am so scared. When I went for my egg freezing and they go, do you want pain relief afterwards? I said, fuck no. I'm like, I'll be in pain. I'll fucking be in pain. I will be in pain for 4 days and rather be constipated for 7 days. I'm so scarred from being constipated. Not a fucking chance. It scares me so much. I'm scarred. Scarred for life, Chloe.
Do you, there's this theory, it's called the gross out theory, that explains how people can develop really disgusting fetishes like poop and pee and vomit.
Yeah, but how do they come about though?
So
you can't just wake up and be like, I want to eat shit. And get off to it.
Yeah, so this theory is called the gross out theory and it explains that when a person is in a heightened state of arousal, the disgust impulse is weakened. So things like poo and pee and spit don't seem as gross when you're really horny.
Yeah, but what gets them to that point to like those things? Do you think that it comes from like a trauma base? So say if somebody was experienced trauma and they piss on themselves. And then in time they associate it to pleasure.
I don't know about that.
Or they got hard when something traumatic happened and they pissed themselves.
I don't know about that. I've seen quite a few clients who have the scat fetish because I used to do full toilet sessions where I would poo on people and force feed them the poo and sometimes they would voluntarily eat it. And it's one of the most horrible sessions. It's disgusting.
Yeah, like, but you
the
whole also time, ship your shit.
I put it in a container. I don't mail it and then they come and pick it up.
Oh, I thought you shipped it.
No, so I don't have to watch them eat it. It's much different watching them eat it. It's a whole nother level because you're like, you're actually eating my shit right now and you have a smile on your face and this whole room fucking stinks so bad.
I'm going I really hope on the weekend that doesn't happen because
that's not going to happen.
I will definitely vomit.
That's not going to happen. But so the SCAT clients that I have met, I've asked them. Some of them say, well, they've seen all the kinds of porn that there is and then they landed on SCAT and then they liked it because that was the most depraved thing in their imagination that they could ever do, and they really liked the idea of doing something really disgusting and dirty. And then there are other people who say, well, I think – when a woman takes a poo, that one of the most intimate experiences that I can share with her, because a lot of people are very private about pooing because it's something you do in private. And then there are other people who have had accidents within their sexual relations. So like maybe that they've a girlfriend has like farted.
Oh, that's me. Every time I have sex, I always fart.
Yeah, or accident or accidentally pooed during sex and then actually liked it. One time I was with the partner I'm seeing right now and I had a really, my belly wasn't feeling good.
Yes. And we were, oh my God, I remember and
we were 69ing and I felt a squirt coming on. So I just like encouraged it a little bit with just like a little push and then I pooed.
You pooed on his, was it on his face?
Well, he always says, yeah, you got it in my mouth and like makes fun of me.
He's like, I secretly loved it. Do it again.
I don't think it actually got on him at all.
Oh, damn.
I know.
You're going to have to try again.
Mm. And then I have a friend, because I shared that story on Instagram, because I'm a very open book. And then I had a friend message me saying, oh, I've accidentally done something very similar to this. She's a lesbian and she was riding her partner's strap on in a cowgirl position. And then she bent over and her belly was upset too. And then she just like pushed and then she shit all up her partner's chest. And her partner was very understanding about it because, you know, you don't mean to shit on them. It just accidentally happens.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm not going to lie, because like I can squirt quite a bit, right? But there's sometimes I'm lazy, especially if I'm drunk and especially if I don't really care for the person that I'm hooking up with. No offense, but like, let's be honest, there are a lot of guys out there that don't give respect. So there are times where I could be super pissed and like super fucking lazy and I'll just be like, yeah, I'm squirting. No, fucking like piss on them because I'm just like, whatever, I don't really care right now. But you, like you've said that like when you make masturbation videos, sometimes it's just easier instead of actually squirting that you just like piss a little bit because it looks like squirt.
It's way easier to piss than squirt. And my piss is always really super clear anyway because I drink a fuckload of water.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll just pee because it's like it's like gushy. You just start peeing and then like you put your hand in front of it and just do like the back and forth motion and that's what most porn stars do anyway.
Yeah, because it's really like when you are creating online content and there are times when I'm like masturbating in front of the camera and I squirt maybe two or three times a little bit and then I turn the camera off. And then fuck me dead, the rains are out, March. The rains are here. Fuck, it's like a flood. It's like raining outside now. But like I'm like, fuck, I should have put two towels down. But it's just because mentally you know you switch the camera off. And you don't need to worry about
how you look,
what's going on, what camera angle are you getting, farting. I just can't help it. Wait, I need to mention the whole farting thing when I squirt because I push out. So because squirting your vagina walls, your muscles are like contracting, I push down and out. And I know a lot of guys get like weirded out by this because some go, oh, you're pushing my penis out. And I'm like, yeah, get the fuck out. I'm trying to squirt. Like, get out of my vagina. Like,
yeah.
And then there's other guys that just get it and they're like, yeah, they just go with it.
Yeah.
When you're pushing out, you're like pushing down there. So now it's got to the point where I like fart because like you're
so
pushing.
Much pressure.
Yeah. And I can squeeze my vagina wall, like my vagina muscles like really tightly if something's on the inside. So when I'm pushing out, it's kind of like the same strength. That's why I fart when I masturbate, people are like, this chick just farts so much. But you know what? I can edit it out of my videos, but I leave it in because it's just like, it's a piss take. And guys are like, I don't know whether to come, whether to like keep wanking or whether to laugh. And I'm like, yeah, just fucking laugh and wank, bro.
You need to do a compilation of squirt farts.
All my squirt farts.
Yeah. People, a lot of people would buy that.
I think they would. So many people ask me for farting videos. I really got to start doing them.
I never squirted very much until I started seeing the guy that I'm seeing now.
Yeah.
Because he's so attentive and he really makes the time and effort to turn me on. There's so much foreplay. And that can really help a girl to squirt too, like get her like intensely turned on before you even like penetrate her. But even when he's doing that, I like to pee to get their reactions. So I like to see his eyes light up when all that water is gushing out, and that gets me really excited. And yeah, like in the heat of the moment, because everyone's so intensely turned on, even if it is pee, it's like, more the merrier. It's welcome. Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that don't really care about it. If a girl is squirting during sex, please don't stop and go, let me go get a towel.
Don't leave me. I'm so hot and ready right now.
No, it's not even that, because I know like squirting's not a thing for like all guys.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of offensive to be like, I'm just like going to go get a towel.
One time I'm remembering this experience that I had when I was hooking up with this guy. I hooked up with him a couple times. He lived in Balmain and he took me back to his Balmain house, and we fucked on his bed, and he just had the perfect cock for squirting. It was so hard. The angle was like perfect. Every time he put it in and out, I would just squirt. And he was like, can you stop squirting? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not doing this on purpose.
What's this guy's number?
And his, yeah, it was like he got angry at me because his bed was so soaked.
Yes. Oh my God, they get like that. Some guys don't care and other guys really care.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, why are you buying expensive sheets if you're fucking so many girls? Like, don't buy expensive sheets.
Oh, this guy's mum definitely washed his sheets.
Oh, wow. Give me his mum's number too.
I have a story here. It's about...
Is this about kinks or fetish?
It's about a fetish and how they develop. So it's possible for the brain to form sexual associations with objects if repeatedly exposed to an item while aroused.
Oh, that's me and my dildos.
Yes.
Or my sex machine.
It's called the Pavlovian theory. There's a story about a man who had a doorknob fetish, and he could not orgasm without holding a doorknob.
Sorry, I just pictured him taking the doorknob off the door and just like laying in bed having sex and holding onto a doorknob in one hand.
So he would keep doorknobs underneath his bed for the sole purpose of like...
Oh my God, so I was right.
Yeah, and he was married, and obviously this fetish was...
So she was
causing
accepting.
Strife. No, it was causing strife. She didn't want him to have to need to like hold the doorknobs to come anymore. You know, that would, if I was his wife, I'd be like, well, am I not enough? Like, what is it about this doorknob that makes you like orgasm? I'd feel less than.
I wouldn't really care. I think I'd get used to it after a while.
I guess it's about the whole person. But anyway, upon reflection, this man discovered that his doorknob fetish developed because as a teen, he had to masturbate in secret. So he would grip onto his doorknob to avoid the risk of being severely punished by his religious mother if she happened to walk in unexpectedly.
So it's like people with cigarettes.
Yeah, it's not the cigarettes that it's addictive, it's the habit.
Yeah, it's the habit and like the movements.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just try like holding her tit and masturbating and bringing like a new cycle into the relationship?
There's so many things that he could have done, but I think upon reflection,
do you think
the realization of it being linked to holding it as a teen to avoid punishment by his mother was enough for him not to need the doorknobs anymore?
I just want to talk about how, firstly, one, she was accepting to the doorknobs at the beginning. Mm. So that is like pretty good. Most people, would you say, are in relationships or single that would come and see you about their kinks and fetishes?
Oh, I'd say it's about half and half. A lot of the people who came to see me either had a girlfriend or were married, and then there were a lot of single couples too. Like, there was no particular personality or like type of person who would come and see, like some come and see me. There would be lawyers, tradies, hospitality workers, students, retired people.
So there's no specific demographic.
Definitely no specific demographic.
But out of the people that were dating others or married, did they say why? Did their girlfriends or wives know about
their desires? No. So I think it comes down to vulnerability and it being seen as weak in a male, and they don't want to risk tension in the relationship by bringing this sort of thing up.
Would you say it's weak and more so they think that their partner wouldn't be accepting of it or join in with them?
I feel like it's like they see it as they have too much to lose to share it with their partner, even though like us hearing that, that doesn't make any sense, because if anything, they have everything to lose not talking about it, because if they intend to spend the rest of their life with this person not sharing their deepest and darkest desires, then yeah, I feel sorry for them having to like hold that down and oppress that within themselves. I think that's why sex work is so important, because people have that outlet to explore and to even get the confidence of then integrating it into their personal relationships. Because I did a lot of that, helping them be able to communicate what they want in a way that wouldn't seem demanding. So just like bringing up the subject to their partner to see if there was any interest there. And I think that can be really healing, sharing your most vulnerable parts of yourself with your partner. Because in session, these men would reveal the most vulnerable parts of themselves. And I doubt that anyone close to them had ever seen them in that kind of state before. And that's really special to share an experience with someone like that.
I just feel like they're not sharing it because they don't want their relationship to end. Like communication these days, how many females would be open to talking about certain things? How many females did you know? Like there's a lot of girls that I went to school with or friends growing up that couldn't even stand what I did for work, which could have been like just lingerie or topless waitressing, let alone, and that's just me, like a friend they had for years and they just disowned me as a friend.
Yeah.
So like imagine what they would do to their partner if their partner goes, I want you to fuck me in the ass.
Yeah.
It makes it really hard to like have a conversation if people aren't open and accepting. But I only think they're not open and accepting because they don't really know what to say and they don't know much about it.
Definitely.
Like porn only shows you so much. It doesn't teach you anything. It just shows you what the experts are doing. It doesn't show you where to get started or how to get started and safe practices and how to open up and talk about it.
I also think that it has a lot to do with how they were raised and how sex was spoken about in their household.
Yeah.
'Cause my mom, she would be open about never masturbating, never having sex. She was very much like, oh, sex is dirty, nasty, icky.
But you'd be a great dominatrix.
I'd be a great dominatrix. So yeah. So I'm not like my mum,
yeah,
thankfully, in regards to her thinkings about sex. However, my sister is 22 years old and she can't even watch a sex scene on a movie because she gets embarrassed.
Well, it depends who I'm in the room with. Not embarrassed, but just like uncomfortable, because I'd be like, oh, I'd enjoy this so much more if I was by myself.
And I also think it has a lot to do with self-esteem. I feel like the more self-confidence you have, the more open you are to experimentation in the bedroom.
Definitely.
So I have a
and
list.
And lots of practice.
Lots of practice. Like you said earlier, if you can't fuck yourself,
yep,
how the hell are you going to expect anyone else to? And I really do think orgasm starts in the brain. You got to be in a very safe, relaxed state of mind 100%. In order to have a good orgasm.
Definitely and safe
that's
and relaxed.
What a lot of men don't realize for a woman. It's like to turn them on, you need to turn them on mentally and you need to make them feel.
Oh my God.
You need to make them feel safe.
I got
to
drop the French story here. Now is the time for the French story. So I went out the other weekend. Oh, yeah. And I had a passion dash because like when I was really young, I would play passion dash when I was like 18, 19 in the clubs.
Yeah, me too.
And I was like, I caught up with a high school friend and I was like, what a perfect time, let's play fucking passion dash. And this guy was really lovely. We met them in like Darling Harbour and they're like, come to Sash nightclub. And I was like, yeah, okay, sure. He was really lovely, super polite. But there was kind of a moment on the dance floor in this place where we kind of held hands and then we kind of separated and then like he did his thing. I went and did my hair thing and I was like, I really think that guy's cute. I'll go get his number before I leave. We ended up kissing for like maybe 3 seconds. 3 seconds is not long enough to grab my hand, stick it on his hard cock in the middle of a club, and also grope my vagina and grab my boob at the same time.
No, I was I'm just shaking my head.
Yeah, I was just like, fuck me. This is why I don't hook up. I was like, how did I get here? You were so polite. Anyways, I just thought, maybe this guy's just super horny and hasn't been out in ages and he's just like super desperate.
Yeah.
Said, nice to meet you. Send him a text just saying, nice to meet you. Have a good night. He's like, where did you go? Did you leave without me? Like, where do you live? And I was like, it wasn't an invitation. I said, have a good night. And then the next day I just text him saying, how was your night? Then he just kind of falls off the face of the earth after like a couple of text exchange. After like 7 days, he texts me again. Hey, cutie, how are you? Yeah, good, mate. Thanks. Like I was just like short with him because I was like, fuck off, champ. I don't recall ever giving you the impression that I wanted to have sex.
Mm.
Like that desperation kind of kills it. There's no attraction there.
And there's no consent there either.
There was definitely no consent. I was more so mortified that it takes 3 seconds for someone to grab their hand. Firstly, I was kind of like, how the fuck is your dick so hard after like a 2 second pash in the middle of a nightclub? And how is it already tucked up into your belt? I was like, this guy's been hard the whole night and he tucked it up in his belt. Like, geez, the French, they're different over here.
I think consent and foreplay is definitely a big topic we need to discuss.
Yes.
In a future episode. And yeah, the difference between male sexuality and female sexuality
100%.
And how our engines begin burning, because females are very slow burning and guys, they can get hot in a second. So we definitely need to touch on that.
That experience made me feel like I was 17 again and not having any clue.
But before we leave this episode today, I'm just going to list off the most common fetishes.
Fetishes! Woohoo!
So
wait, can I start with the first one?
Yep.
Foot.
Yep. And then cross-dressing, latex, impact play.
Role play.
Anal sex.
No, that's my favorite. Butthole sex. Okay. Voyeurism.
Orgasm control.
Hair.
Yeah. Cuckolding.
Humiliation.
Water sports.
CBT. What's CBT?
Cock and ball torture.
That sounds like a fun time.
We're going to do some on the weekend.
I'm so nervous again.
Then objectification. And finally,
domination and submission.
That's it. So those are the list of the most common fetishes.
Yeah, domination and submission. That's what we're doing on Saturday. And I'm so nervous. I'm sweating again thinking about it. So next episode, I'm going to report back to you my very first experience on sitting in on a session, watching Chloe dominate this poor guy, but he's not so poor because he really likes it and he's paying for it. So he's not really poor, to be honest. But in my mind, I think this poor guy. And I am going to apparently watch him get pegged and suck another dude's dick and eat the guy's cum and some footplay or something or other. I'm just going to take a camera and film it and film my reaction for everyone here. I'm taking one for the team. You better bloody appreciate it.
I'm so excited.
I'm so sweaty.
This is going to be so fun.
Anyone want to pitch in for a bottle of vodka? I'm open.
Well, until next time.
Until the next episode. Thanks for joining us. And if I'm still around on the next episode, guys, tune in.